All right, joining us on KMBR 680, she's the president of the Baseball Writers Association of America, Susan Slusser. And first of all, congratulations on the job. I think it's just what an honor for you.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's an organization that I care deeply about and I've been pretty involved with for quite a long time. And, you know, the main thing we do, people think about, like, the postseason awards and the Hall of Fame voting, which is the things that we do. But really the most important aspect of the BBWA is ensuring good working conditions, not just for baseball writers in our membership, but for all members of the media. We try to work for everybody in that respect and making sure that we all have adequate access to players and have all the amenities we need during a game. Sometimes that becomes an issue.
Yeah, it's still an issue today. Years ago, they'd close the clubhouse and people would be banging on the door outside. Does that still happen today?
Well, it's more, we are guaranteed a certain amount of time now before batting practice in order to be able to talk to players, to, you know, do the wonderful things that we all do and that even broadcasters do, pregame stuff, notebooks, all that kind of stuff. And sometimes that gets infringed on. Never in the Bay Area. The Bay Area teams are great with ensuring adequate access. But I can now tell you that across the country, that is not entirely always the case. Some managers like to schedule meetings during that time. They're not supposed to. And some, you know, when there's batting practice changes, like on a day like this, a day game in particular, when team's not hitting, sometimes those things, and it's often inadvertent. Sometimes the media's time to talk to players gets a little bit shorted here and there. And usually they don't mean to, but we try to make sure that that's always taken care of.
Well, Susan Slusser is with us. I remember the Red Sox were trouble. Texas could be trouble from time to time. The Yankees got trying to get Rick Cerrone to get him to cooperate was always a pleasure.
Well, yeah, I think it tends to be sometimes the bigger media markets where you are dealing with, you know, maybe 15 or 20 writers and, you know, Japanese writers maybe in New York and Boston, and that can double the number, and numerous broadcasters. I can understand that's a hassle for players. It's a hassle for PR staffs. It's a hassle for managers, especially in those markets. But, you know, we do have a job to do, and most teams understand that. The issue this year that has been taking up most of my time has been the press box situation in Anaheim. They moved their press box down sort of about even with the right field foul pole because they wanted to turn the old press box, which was a fabulous location. I can understand them wanting to monetize it. No problem with that at all. But the box that they created out next to the right field pole, you really can't see the field at all, and it's very difficult to get to and from the clubhouse when you need to after the game. So we're working on sort of resolving some issues there because that's not a workable condition.
No, is that still in the right down the right field line, or have they changed it?
Well, there is still a box down the right field line, and people can use that. They'll probably use it as like an overflow press box if there's a postseason scenario there. But they have created a small, tiny little writer box in the broadcast section, which is not quite, it's very small. The New York crew, when they're there, there's no way they'll fit them all in there. So we're hoping, our hope and request is any time a press box is moved that they go up, much the way they did in Kansas City a few years ago. They moved the press from the lower area behind home plate way up over the broadcast level. That's fine. We don't care how high up we are. In Pittsburgh, we're a mile up in the air, but you can see the field and you can get to the clubhouse, and those are absolutely the only things we care about. Amenities, we don't mind, don't care about, like, if it's adequate press box food, any of that. Just being able to see the game and being able to get to the clubhouse.
All right, what a story. Susan Slusser, president of the Baseball Writers Association of America, first woman elected president, which is quite an honor for her. As you were talking, I just thought of Ted Williams, the Knights of the Keyboard, as he liked to call the writers. Membership, of course, as the world changes, membership changes for your organization, voting for the Hall of Fame. These are things you have to deal with.
Right. When there obviously was a lot of controversy last year with the Hall of Fame voting, with nobody getting in, which I thought was a shame. I thought there were the performance-enhancing drugs issue aside, I thought that there were still some players who had not been associated with any of those kind of issues who probably should have got in, especially somebody like Craig Biggio. Mike Piazza, you can argue maybe there had been hints and rumors. Personally, I don't feel like that's enough to keep somebody out of the Hall of Fame. I voted for him. I voted for Biggio. I had hoped one or the other might get in last year. They're certainly on their numbers deserving. But that was there was certainly some flap about that for a week or two that I spent a lot of time talking about. But I think that ballot was an anomaly because of the two obvious names that were on it, Bonds and Clemens, that an awful lot of voters just didn't know what to do with, and that threw everything off. Next year, I think there probably will be as many, you know, at least three, maybe as many as seven players going into the Hall of Fame. That could be a long induction day at the Hall of Fame.
Well, I know you'll be there this year. Who's the writer who's going in this year?
This year it is Paul Hagen from Philadelphia.
Great.
Yeah, and I'm actually not there. We switched. I was there last year for Bob Elliott because President last year, Bill Shaken from the LA Times, was at the Olympics. So I switched, and I had Bob Elliott, and it's Bill Shaken's doing it this year with Paul Hagen.
Right.
Paul Hagen is the only living person going into the hall this year, so it's going to be a strange weekend, I think, for everybody there.
Oh, wow. All right, that's a thrill. What about Hall of Fame voting? 500 members vote. Maybe 200 or 300 actually see games all the time. Is there an issue around that?
Well, you know, that gets brought up in a year like last year. I think everybody, anybody could vote on this. I mean, you could look. You know, most of these guys are guys whose career, their career has to have ended 10 years before. So seeing current games has really very little to do with it. You certainly hope that our membership, and I think it's more like 750 that actually do the voting, you hope that they've been paying attention. You hope that they have covered games in the time period, the era when those people were active. But it's not a must. Sports editors are also members and voting members and can vote. But really, it's a matter of looking at the final statistics, all the accomplishments. You know, you don't necessarily have to have been to a lot of games to judge them against their peers, which is what we're doing. And again, I think last year it was the steroid issue that threw everything off. There's always one crazy vote. I know we took some flack because somebody voted for Aaron Seeley last year. There is always one crazy vote, at least. Sometimes there's more. Jeff Idelson, the president of the Baseball Hall of Fame, said he likes that. It shows it's a democratic process. We've got a very large voting body. Obviously, like you look at presidential elections, you get some crazy votes for people that aren't on the ballot. But Aaron Seeley was eligible. He was eligible to be voted for. It was not an illegal vote. Somebody, you know, threw that out there. I don't know. But it's a democracy. He's allowed to do that. There's only one. He will not remain on the ballot because he didn't get enough. So there you have it. So we don't tell our membership how to vote, and that shows you.
What a pleasure to have Susan with us as the president of the Baseball Writers Association of America. You look at the membership. I want to just ask you one more time about that. With all the bloggers and internet people, and how do they fit into this in the future? Broadcasters, I mean, should more people have the ability to vote on these things?
Well, it is the Baseball Writers Association, and it is a long time, you know, Ben. But we have added in internet sites over the years. They come up for renewal sort of every year, and we continue to vote on them because especially sites like FanGraphs is in, Baseball Prospectus is in. They've been added in the last few years. But sometimes those sites can be, you know, they're not always as established, and sometimes they come and go, some of the internet sites. So obviously things like ESPN, CBS Sportsline, those writers, most of them came from a traditional newspaper or like Tom Verducci came from Sports Illustrated. They have extensive baseball writers experience. So we have added them. Our criteria is based on covering games regularly, including traveling and covering spring training and covering the Jewel events, the All-Star Game, the World Series. If outlets are doing that and they are regular presences in the press boxes, we credential them to become members. We do not credential the individuals. We credential the outlet, and then the outlet decides which writers and which one editor or producer from each spot gets baseball writers' cards.
I didn't know that. Very good explanation. All right, what's your biggest challenge, and have you enjoyed it?
The biggest challenge is definitely that Angels press box, because I'm still nervous that nothing permanent that's actually a good, professional, workable solution will happen. I'm not sure that there's enough urgency there, but we shall see. I mean, it's right now it's not something where people can really do their work in an adequate fashion, and that's all, like I said, we just want the basic. And the thing that's aggravating there is the old, beautiful press box. There's nothing there. They're not using it for anything else, so it's just sitting there empty, which is frustrating.
All right. You're enjoying this, I can see.
I love it. I do love it. I don't mind. I'm kind of the person everybody comes to with their complaints, and I don't mind that much. That's all right.
All right. Pioneer, you're sort of a pioneer here. This is interesting because you've done this a long time, And there's always the possibility of being recognized by the Hall of Fame down the road as the first woman to be recognized. It's quite an honor for you in the Bay Area to know how long you've been doing this.
Well, yeah, that certainly that would be an honor. I think this is being the BBWA president is partly a, you know, it's longevity, seniority kind of thing. But really the pioneers, as you know, Marty, were the women that came way before me in the 70s who really had to fight to get into the, even just the press box, much less the clubhouses. Those were the people who really, you know, you hear stories about women waiting outside in the hallways to talk to players and crying because they couldn't get anybody and all their colleagues are walking right past them into the clubhouse. That's a rough situation. I got it pretty easy.
All right. A pleasure having you on. I've been looking for you. Very nice. Susan Slusser, pleasure.
Thanks, Marty. Anytime.
All right. More coming up on KNBR 680, the sports leader.